Let me give you a little bit of background about the Israelites during this time and place. So they were coming back from Babylonian captivity after about 70 years, and they begin to rebuild the broken down wall at Jerusalem. So as this work began, they begin to get opposition from the enemies of the Jews. So what they begin to do is they begin to work with a tool in one hand and a sword in the other, so that in case they were attacked, they would be ready. Sword was at their side as they worked. And if opposition came, they were ready for that attack. And that's a really good analogy of the New Testament church and what we face. And as we kind of move forward as a church and as a body, what we need to be prepared to do as well. We need to be prepared to work and do the work that God has called us to do. But at the same time, we need to be prepared to fight. Now, what's that mean? It means that the enemy of our souls does oppose our work. There is an enemy out there that, you know, whether you believe in the concept of the devil or not, I believe the scriptures clearly teach that there is an unseen force of evil, that there are demons, and they oppose the work of the gospel. So we need to be willing to fight the good fight of faith and not only work toward what God has called us to do, but also fight for what God has called us to do and fight against the enemies of our souls while working toward what God has called us to do. So this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different than what I usually do in my teachings. I'm going to kind of recast vision this morning. Who is Blessed Life Fellowship? What have we been called to do? Where are we going? Okay, so this is a little bit of a different teaching. I'm going to be kind of all over the place. I'm not going to kind of stick to one path, but I'm going to give you several different concepts and points pertaining to what God has called us to do and who we are and where we're going. Amen? So this little tagline that I have down here at the bottom of the screen, growing people chasing God, is kind of what Blessed Life Fellowship is all about in terms of distilling it down into just a sound bite. Growing people, chasing God. Now that phrase, chasing God, doesn't mean that God is running from us and we're trying to catch him. That's not what that means. It's a play off of Jeremiah 29:13 that says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And that's what that phrase means, chasing God. Just trying to, man, just going for it spiritually. Seeking God with all of your heart. We're growing people, but we're also chasing God. So I'm going to elaborate on that concept. As I do, I want you to understand, based upon our reading, that when God called the Israelites as a nation unto himself, he called them to be a specific kind of people reflecting the glory of God. So we too want to be a specific kind of people who reflect the glory of God. And I believe that's what God has called us to do and be, is to reflect his glory. That's true of all Christians, but that's the priority that we have in this church, reflecting the glory of God. So what's that look like? Well, first of all, I want to deal with this question this morning. Why us? Why Blessed Life Fellowship? And why now? Well, the church in America, and especially this community, that's a very stodgy religious community, this community and this nation really as a whole has a problem with balance. We have a problem with balance. What do I mean by that? Well, so often we overemphasize, various churches overemphasize one area of spirituality at the expense of something equally important. Let me say that again. We overemphasize one area or one or two or three areas of spirituality at the expense of something equally important. Let me give you some examples of that. Spiritual gifts, like prophecy and speaking in tongues and that sort of thing. Sometimes some churches emphasize and even overemphasize that at the expense of real solid teaching. And vice versa can also happen. Sometimes churches are so focused on the teaching that they forget about other equally important things like spiritual gifts. Amen? Is that right? Another example would be evangelism over mature discipleship. So in other words, a lot of churches are just, they're focused on getting people in the seats and getting people saved, but then the discipleship process maybe is not so strong. So they both need to be there. in making those statements, I'm not claiming that I or Blessed Life Fellowship has achieved a perfect balance yet. But we're certainly making strides in that direction. As Andrew Womack likes to say, we haven't arrived, but we've left. You know, we are making strides in the right direction. So we're endeavoring to be a church that's perfectly balanced as much as we can be. So on that note then, I want to talk about the three R's of Blessed Life Fellowship. The three R's of Blessed Life Fellowship as God gave them to me. And that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning for the balance of the teaching. So revelation, reverence, and relationship. Yeah, don't let the pictures of the Muppets up there throw you. That's not a real serious picture, but it is a real serious concept. So, revelation, reverence, and relationship. So let's deal with revelation first, shall we? Revelation basically deals with revelation from the Word of God as it's being taught. You know, I did a series of teachings. My last series of teachings that I did before I went on sabbatical was called The Principal Thing. And what it dealt with was wisdom. It was based upon Proverbs 4:7 that you see up there on the screen. Wisdom is the principal thing. If you had to strip away everything else, spiritual gifts, evangelism, all that, the most important thing, according to this verse anyway, Proverbs 4:7, would be wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. So that's a big priority in our church. So under that heading then of revelation, we've got kind of a subheading, and I'm going to deal with this for a few minutes. The subheading under revelation would be faith, family, and kingdom. If you were to distill what Blessed Life Fellowship has been called to do and be, it's those three bullet points right there. Faith, family, and kingdom. So let me elaborate on what I mean. So first of all, before I do that, I want to make this point real quickly about wisdom is the principal thing. You know, head knowledge of the Word is not what we're after here. I mean, it's important that we have head knowledge of the Word, but just head knowledge of the Word is not the principal thing. I've known people that have head knowledge of the Word, but they don't have very much wisdom. Does that make sense? So in other words, that they know scriptures, but the way that they ram it down people's throats and offend them in the process is not wisdom. You know, they drive them off because they just ram it down people's gullets, and that's offensive. And so that's not wisdom. So head knowledge of the Word only is not what we're after. We're after wisdom, but more importantly, we're after knowledge of the one who wrote the Word. That's what we're after, is knowledge of the one. We want to have a relationship, in other words. Did you know that you can have a bunch of head knowledge of the Word and miss the whole point of the Word, which is relationship with the Father? You know, the Pharisees back in their time, during Jesus' time, they knew the Old Testament scriptures better than anyone. But the Old Testament scriptures pointed to the coming Messiah, Jesus. And when Jesus stood before them, they didn't recognize him. They rejected him. They had him crucified. So the very one that the scriptures point to, they missed it. So we don't want to be people just of head knowledge of the Word. We want to be people who are pursuing relationship with the one who wrote the Word. And the purpose of the Word is to help us to get to know Him and His ways. Amen? Okay, I just wanted to clarify that balance there. All right, so let's deal with these three subheadings, faith, family, and kingdom. Because those are the three things that God gave to me as the focus of Blessed Life Fellowship. So the first one's faith. Well, I'm going to point this out to you. This is a big topic. I'm only going to spend one slide on it. And this is obviously a very, very big topic. We talk about faith a lot in this church. But so many Christians initially receive their salvation by faith, but then they try to walk out the rest of their Christian lives by the strength of their own reasoning. And folks, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, God gave you reasoning and intellect for a reason. He wants you to use it. I'm not saying check your brains at the door when you come in church. I'm not saying that. I believe that the Christianity is the faith for the thinking person. I believe that. But by the same token, we can't rely on our own reasoning. The Christian life is a walk of faith. So yes, we get saved by faith, but see, that's where a lot of people stop. They mistakenly feel like, well, now that I'm saved, I've received my salvation by faith. It's not of works, so that no one can boast. They know that scripture. But then they endeavor to lead the rest of their Christian lives in the strength of their own reasoning and flesh. That's very, very misplaced. Because Jeremiah 17:5 says this, "Cursed is the one who trusts in the arm of the flesh." Cursed is the one who trusts in the arm of the flesh. And then a scripture that I quote quite often, Habakkuk 2:4, "The just," or the righteous, "shall live by faith." It's not just a one-time experience, folks. The just shall live by faith. Amen. You're supposed to live that way all the time. You're supposed to trust God with every aspect of your life, with your job, with your marital relationship, with your kids, with your finances, with your health, everything. You're supposed to be living by faith and trusting God. That's a very, very big topic that I couldn't cover in one teaching or even 10 teachings. So we talk about this from time to time on a regular basis. We'll revisit the issue of faith all the time. Okay, so that's one priority right there. Faith, family, and kingdom. So let's go now to family. Healthy families are a demonstration of the goodness of God. Healthy families are a demonstration of the goodness of God. People that have raised their families according to biblical commands and principles end up being very healthy families, and that brings glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean that if you were raised in a family situation that, you know, maybe your parents or you did not honor God in the way that you were raised by your... And, of course, I'm a good example. I mean, my folks were divorced by the time I was 6 years old, and the dysfunction didn't stop there. It continued throughout my upbringing. It was a very, very dysfunctional, very painful upbringing because my parents, although church-going people, in certain areas of their lives, God bless them, had some issues, and they didn't follow the commands of Scripture in certain areas, and it brought destruction, right? It brought destruction. God's desire for your family is to be healthy, intact, and whole, right? So healthy families are a demonstration of the goodness of God. It allows God to show off. It's like, here, look at my kids, right? That's what you like to do with your kids. You like to show them off, right? When they accomplish something, you like to show them off. Amen? God likes to do that with His kids. He likes to show off His goodness through intact, healthy families. So that's what why we have a focus on healthy families in this church and why we deal with family issues fairly often. Also, the church's existence is to prevent family disintegration and help to heal broken families. Because did you know that in America today, the divorce rate is about 60% of first marriages? Do you know what the divorce rate is with second marriages? It's about 80%. Do you know that? Third marriages is more than that. So we live in a very, very dysfunctional society where fathers and even sometimes mothers are missing in action. And it causes kids to grow up very dysfunctional, very, very warped mindsets sometimes. And God wants to hear. Listen, a lot of you come from dysfunctional families like me. So I'm not speaking to people that don't identify with my story. A lot of you come from very dysfunctional families. You know what? What's cool? There's healing and hope in the Lord. There's healing and hope in the Lord. You know, if I could just use my family as an example for a moment, my immediate family now, my wife and my children, we raised our kids, and Donna and I have had a very, very different dynamic in our home compared to the one that I was raised in. So even though that there was extreme brokenness, and I brought baggage into my marriage because of the brokenness in my family, God has progressively healed those things because we've just gone after God, and we've been a student of His Word, and we've learned how He wants things done and implemented it in our lives. And you know what? We've been blessed by it. It's blessed us. It's blessed us. We've got wonderful kids, wonderful family. I mean, of course, we got, you know, little problems like every family does. I mean, I'm not saying that everything's perfect. We live in the world, after all, and we're humans that have flaws, and we make mistakes, and we make bad decisions sometimes. So not everything's perfect, but by the same token, we're eons away from the way that I was raised. And the way that some of you were raised, I mean, you're experiencing the same thing. You're coming up out of that brokenness. You know, Pam was the same way. As a matter of fact, I got to say this about our leadership. You know, one of the reasons why I think that a lot of people that are former addicts and come from a lot of brokenness are very comfortable in this church is because the leadership has experienced a lot of the same things. You know, Matt comes from a very broken, and Heidi, his wife Heidi as well, who's out of town right now. On a business trip. They both came from extreme brokenness, and now Matt's a leader in the church. Pam and Steve, now Steve grew up as an angel from the time that he was small, but... But Pam, on the other hand, she came from extreme brokenness. Have you read her book, Out of the Stink Ditch? It's a great book of redemption of how God can take somebody out of the stink ditch and bring them to a place of showing off his kids. Here's what I can do with brokenness. God's not against your brokenness. As a matter of fact, here's what I love about God. He loves to take broken, twisted things that the world would just discard and say, what a worthless individual that is. God loves taking those kinds of people and building them up and healing them and making them a demonstration and a trophy of his grace and his goodness. Isn't that fantastic news? If you come from a broken family, don't despair. God likes using people like you. He does. He does. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know what that means? He takes the broken and the despised things of the world to confound people who think they've got it all together. The elitists of our society that would look down on you because you came from the other side of the tracks, because you came from addiction, you came from brokenness. Hey, look, did you know that one of the women in the family line of Jesus was a prostitute? God's not against your brokenness. He wants to heal it and to repair it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, too, I want to say this about our focus on the family, that the next generation of Christians and Christian leaders will depend largely on how we raise our children today. So we place a great emphasis upon child rearing and how that's done biblically and in a godly way. I just feel like I need to say this. This is not in my notes or on my slides here. I just feel like I need to say this. This may encourage somebody. I didn't plan on talking about this. This may encourage someone. When I was growing up, especially as I was trying to develop a relationship with the Lord, I cried out and I prayed for an older male figure in my life to father me in the faith, to mentor me in the faith. And sometimes those people come along. But in my case, it didn't until much later. I didn't get actually a mentor and an overseer until I became a pastor. And I didn't become a pastor until I was 44. But this is what I want to encourage you with. Even though I didn't have a father figure in the faith who would take me under his wing and teach me, you know what it did do for me? It caused me to rely on the teacher of all teachers, the Holy Spirit, and he mentored me, and he taught me, and he gave me wisdom, and he healed me. Now, I'm not even claiming that I'm completely healed from all that junk. I'm still working through things myself, as many of you are, but he's taken me so far from where I was even 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, 30 years ago. He has healed me, and he's done the same for you, and I just want to encourage you, those of you, especially young people, who have been brought up in very dysfunctional families, God wants to be your daddy. He wants to be your teacher. He wants to be your mentor. He wants to heal those broken places. It's possible. He can do it. But You've got to develop a love for God, a love for His Word, and you've got to feed on His Word, be in His presence, be in church, do everything that you can do to feed that new spirit that God is developing in you. And He will, I guarantee it, if you go after Him like that, He'll heal those broken places. Praise God. I love it. All right. So faith, family, and the next one is kingdom. Now this word kingdom, don't let it throw you. Kingdom is just another word for administration or government. It's basically the way that God does things. His priorities, the way that He thinks, and the way that God does things. With that in mind then, the kingdom of God is not just about rules and regulations. Do's and don'ts, in other words. God doesn't just give you rules to keep you from having fun and to restrict you. That's not the reason for His commands. It's to save you from the destruction that wrong choices will bring into your life. He loves you. The reason that you have a rule that you don't let your kids play with outlets and stick things into outlets is not to keep them from having fun and exploring new things. You want to protect them from getting hurt. And I can tell you that if you don't already know this, that doing things against the will of God and doing things that He says are harmful and wrong will bring pain and havoc into your life. How many can attest to that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Doing things God's way is better than doing things the world's way. Now, the scriptures do say that sin is pleasurable for a season, but the end result thereof is death, destruction. Sin will bring death and destruction into your life. So God's not giving us His commands to keep us from having fun. It's to prevent the destruction that sin will bring into your life. That's why the kingdom of God is not just about rules and regulations. It's a system whereby we know God, know how He thinks, and know how He operates. Likewise, when we tap into the kingdom, we tap into God's provisions, His fruitfulness, and His grace. When we tap into the kingdom, how God does things, how God thinks, and we implement those things in our lives, we tap into His provisions, His fruitfulness, and His grace. So that's basically the first R. So we've got the first R of Revelation, and under that R is faith, family, and kingdom. Now let's go on to the second R, which will be a little bit more brief, and that R is reverence. Now, this is something that I really believe that God has dealt with me about regarding this church. A lot of contemporary churches, we're kind of a contemporary church. I mean, we were jamming away on this morning on You Lifted Me Up and You Lifted Me Out. And I love the lyrics to that song because God truly has lifted us up and lifted us out. So that's why I requested that song this morning. But we are kind of a contemporary church in that way, although we sing hymns. As we did this morning as well. So we do both. We're blended worship in that way. But God's really dealt with me about reverence. Because a lot of the contemporary churches these days, and again, this is not a blanket statement. I'm not saying this is true of every contemporary church. But many of them have lost that sense of reverence for God. That sense of holy awe of His presence. That's okay that we do contemporary songs and we blast away on a guitar and drums. I'm not against that. I like that. But by the same token, don't let that distract from the spirit of reverence that we're supposed to bring with us into the house of God and to revere His presence and to revere His things. Amen? It also involves then, under reverence, worship. Worship is a big priority of mine, a big priority of this church. Worshiping in spirit and in truth and not out of religious ritual. Did you know that when Jesus walked the earth and during the days of His earthly ministry, He was pretty hard on people, on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious teachers. He was pretty hard on people that just made it about religious ritual and not about mercy and love toward people and reverence for God. Did you know that? God's not into religious ritual if it's void of the reason behind why we're doing it, out of reverence for Him and regard for our brothers and sisters in the faith. So worship then is a really, really important part of what we do. Expressing our gratitude to God is so important, folks. I can't overemphasize enough how important that is in the meeting of the church, is expressing our gratitude and worship and adoration to God. I did a whole series on that one time, and I'll probably do it again to remind us of what a powerful thing this can be in your life. The scriptures say that God inhabits the praises of His people. What's that mean? Is when we begin to worship God in spirit and truth, that activates Him and brings Him on the scene on your behalf. I can't go into all the things that I would normally want to say about worship, but one example of that is when the nation of Judah was being attacked by three different alliances of kingdoms that were coming against them to annihilate them. And God, through a prophet, stood up and said, "You won't have to fight this battle today, but go down and meet them. Go down in the valley and meet them." And as they did, in response to that prophetic word, in faith, you know what they did? They put the singers and the musicians on the front line. No, not their fiercest warriors on the front line, the musicians and singers who had never seen a day of battle. So they put the musicians and the singers and went down to meet the enemy, praising God. Amen. And when they got there, the enemy had already gotten confused, and those three enemy nations that had converged began to fight against one another and annihilated each other until no single man was left. They didn't have to fight the battle, just as the prophet said. And there was so much plunder left over, it took them 3 days to haul it all away. God responds to worship. Be worshipers. A very important part of what we do in this church. And we've got some work to do in that regard. I really believe. I mean, we're good. I think that for the most part, our church is a participatory in worship. But I think we've got some work to do. I think we could do better. Amen. Yeah? Amen. All right. So honor for God's presence, His things, and His people is a very important part of reverence. And also, of course, prayer. We can't forget that. Prayer, without which nothing significant ever gets done. And you know, on that note, I want to get back on track. And at least once a month, gathering together, maybe on a Wednesday night, and doing nothing but just praying. Praying and worshiping. I want to get back on track on that. Just maybe one Wednesday or Thursday night a month doing it. We've got to be people of prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Where two or more are gathered as touching anything, there I am in the midst, and you have what you've asked. We've got to be people of prayer. This church isn't going to do a thing in this community without prayer, without corporate prayer, fervent prayer. Amen? We've got to be people of prayer. And not just coming together as a congregation for prayer, but individually. I hope in your homes, you're people of prayer, and you're praying for this ministry. Right? Amen. All right, so let me get to my last R, and that is relationship. Now, this may not seem real spiritual, relationship with one another, but let me tell you something. It is spiritual. Relationship with one another is very, very spiritual. Well, let me just show you what the Bible says about that. Hebrews 3:13 says this, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." It's important that we come together and we encourage one another so that we're not led away into sin. Secondly, in that same book of Hebrews, fast forwarding to chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of God's return, of Jesus' return approaching." As we see that day approaching, all the more priority that we should have on the meeting together of the saints. And that doesn't just pertain to what we're doing right now, Sunday morning worship experience. It also pertains to getting together on Wednesday nights or even in each other's homes and encouraging one another. Sharing meals together was a big part of what the first century church did. And it should be a big part of what we do. I like what's going on in our congregation right now where Sean and Abby and Matt and Heidi are meeting together in their home on Sunday nights and just reading a book together and studying that book and studying the spiritual principles. They do that on Sunday night. That's totally independent of what I as the pastor have ordained, but I'm okay with that. If you guys get together and just want to just fellowship and talk about spiritual things and study a book together or study the book of the Bible together, awesome. I think that's fantastic. I don't have to spearhead everything that goes on in this church. If you guys want to spearhead getting together and fellowshipping, that's so important. As a matter of fact, even some of the people that showed up for work days, I heard that some of you had great opportunities to get to know one another better and had really, really meaningful conversations that helped one another. Even in the midst of a work day where you're helping out, just cleaning up and doing the things that we did yesterday, that meaningful conversations happened that touched people on deep levels. Did you know that? Those opportunities to get together for even a work day can be opportunities for ministry. Isn't that cool? So I have to tell you just a quick story. So I was talking with someone yesterday as we were having a bite to eat and taking a break from the work day. And it was Cindy, actually. Cindy Mack over there. And she was just telling me how she asked God, Lord, give me an opportunity for ministry. And I guess it was just one or two days later, Cindy, wasn't it, where she was here working and got an opportunity. Just God set it up. It was a divine setup. And she got to speak to a young lady and speak into her life and encourage her. And God used her. See, ministry doesn't just happen up on the stage like with what I'm doing right now. It doesn't just happen with a missionary. It happens with relationships in the church. Now, of course, when you get together, I guess I have to qualify something. When you get together, and something that's not ordained by the church or ordained by me, and you decide to get together and meet together, I want to be able to approve of the things that are being studied. And I don't want you like reading tarot cards when you get together, okay? Right? Right? It needs to be something that I would approve of, right? Okay? Playing with Ouija boards or whatever else, So I don't want that going on. But by the same token, feel free to get together and enjoy fellowship with one another outside of the Sunday morning experience, outside of the Wednesday night experience. Be people that get to know one another. And folks, I want to say something else about relationship. One of the things that's really disappointed me about a trend in the local church these days is the trend toward segregated worship. And what I mean by that is age-segregated worship. So in other words, some churches have gravitated toward their early morning service will be their traditional service where all the hymns are sung and the older people come to those. Then you have a later service that's the contemporary service and all the younger people come to those. I think that's a terrible idea. The reason I think that, I'm not trying to cast dispersions on our brothers and sisters, but I don't like that idea. And the reason I don't is because the church is a family. Young people, you need the wisdom and the experience and the direction of older folks in the faith. And older folks in the faith, we need, I'm not putting myself in the older category quite yet. Older folks need the passion and the vision of younger folks. We need each other. We're a family. We're a family. We need to worship and work together. Amen? We need to worship and work together. So on that note, I want to bring it to a close on this point. So once again, Blessed Life Fellowship is a church that grows people and chases God. Growing people and chases God. How do we do that? With revelation, reverence, and relationship. But most importantly, under that heading of revelation, we have that subheading. And this would be the three I would want you to remember. The revelation, reverence, and relationship, that's sort of kind of what a lot of churches do. But our particular niche, our particular focus would be this: faith, family, and kingdom. Faith, family, and kingdom. That's the three things that God has given me for our church to move toward. That's our little specialty, if you will. Now, we want to be a church that preaches the whole counsel of God. We're going to preach about as much of the Word of God as we can, but we're going to constantly come back to these things from time to time. Issues pertaining to faith, walking in faith, and what that means, what that looks like. Family issues, and also kingdom issues. Learning how God's government, God's administration functions and operates, and how we should adjust ourselves to those concepts. Amen? All right. So, we are endeavoring to be a balanced church. Once again, we're not quite there yet. I don't think that we've perfectly arrived, but we're endeavoring to be a balanced church, one that doesn't smorgasbord the Bible, that places a strong emphasis on the Word or worship or relationships or spiritual gifts at the expense of, you know, other things. I mean, we want to be balanced in all those areas. Word, worship, relationship, spiritual gifts. Everything that God has to give us, I want to be a part of that. I want to receive all of it, right? Not just parts of it. I want all of it. Don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Stand and let's pray together.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.